¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Third hour, Darren, Donnie, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day thus far. We told you we would head down to Jacksonville to start this hour. We're going to do that right now. Let's bring in Tony Smith, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM down there, covering the Jags, radio host down there. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing all right down here. It's been a newsy 24 hours for the Jags, no doubt.
I was going to say, you're not bored down there, that's for sure, thanks to the Jaguars. It was an interesting weekend and start to the week between Ndakwe and now Leonard Fournette. I mean, did you see all this coming?
Well, the Ndakwe trade wasn't a big surprise. I think there's disappointment that for a player of his caliber at his age that they weren't able to get more back for Ngakoue when everything is said and done. But when you're getting the trade done at the end of August as opposed to the beginning of July or earlier in the offseason when whoever you traded into could have worked out a long-term deal, that's out of play right now. So if they were going to get something done, it was probably likely going to be something in line with what they wound up getting from Minnesota. Not going to lie, it's not a good look for the organization that Yannick Ngakoue is so desperate to get away from Jacksonville that he's willing to take a $6 million pay cut and allow Minnesota, if they wanted to put the franchise tag on him again next year with the way that he redid the deal. That's not a great look for the organization. And then this morning you wake up to the news of Leonard Fournette being released, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around this one. It just makes no sense on a football level. They've told us, Doug Marrone spoke this morning after the decision had been made, that it had nothing to do with anything off-field with Leonard Fournette or anything that had happened, that it was a football decision. I can't make sense of making this decision thinking that you're a better football team without Leonard Fournette than you were 24 hours ago with him, but that's what they're saying they are.
And you have to pay him. I mean, it makes zero sense. And they have to pay him, right? They're on the hook.
Well,
for $4 million?
They're on the hook for that potentially here for Leonard Fournette. We'll see where it all winds up. I know there's a grievance that's stemming from at the end of the 2018 season. He got suspended late in the year. He got suspended by the team in 2019 for crossing the field during the Bills game where he got into a fist fight on a play that he wasn't even on the field for, just ran from the sideline to get into a fight running across the field. So it hasn't been great for Fournette from that perspective, but it's odd. The timing of the whole thing is weird given how little they have on the depth chart here in Jacksonville. He's a guy that got nearly 1,700 yards last season for this football team. It's not like they had a whole lot of explosion on the offensive side. They really like DJ Chark. There's some intriguing guys that they like at wide receiver, LaVisca Chenault, who they drafted in the second round this year. There's excitement about Gardner Minshew at the quarterback spot. But to come out today and say that you're a better football team without Leonard Fournette, I don't know how you say it with a straight face. It just doesn't make any sense at all for that to be the direction they're going, unless they were really worried about saving $4 million, which, why? It's not like they don't have money to spend anyway. They saved $17 million yesterday.
Right.
They traded Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, it's not like money is an issue right now. Why $4 million would be the difference is really hard to explain, and fans have been asking us about it, obviously, since it all went down this morning. There's not a good answer. There's just not a good answer for fans of the team right now who want to know what the heck they're thinking. I can't explain it to them. I don't know.
Tony Smith on the line with us, 1010 XL, 92.5 down in Jacksonville. So there's a lot of stuff out there that people are saying that, you know, basically Jacksonville is doing what Miami was being accused of doing last year, even though they won five games. But, you know, the tanking for Tua or whatever you want to call it back last year is what it looked like the Dolphins are doing. The Colts did it in this division, as you remember, for Luck, sucking for Luck. Do you buy into any notion that Jacksonville is just throwing away this season to possibly get the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence?
I wouldn't have, as we went into training camp, I don't know how else to explain the Fournette move. Like, I don't know. Unless you're just completely unconcerned with the results in 2020, I don't know how you make the move that they made with Leonard Fournette. He was under contract for one more year. It's $4 million. They have it. He was a productive player for him. Had his best season last year, arguably, since he got here to Jacksonville, was as good a – look, they had issues with him his rookie year and even into 2018, and we went over those a moment ago, but last year he was really good for this team. So I don't know. And the tanking talk, yeah, I would have dismissed it until they made this move with Leonard Fournette. I could understand them trading Calais Campbell at his age with what they thought they were going to get out of him and have to pay him $15 million. I understood trading A.J. Boye. That made sense to me for a team at the position that they were in to be able to get something back for a player that was going to be here for one more year and nothing beyond that. Okay, those make some kind of sense. Doing this, it just seems unreasonable. And I don't know how you explain it except that it sends up at least the signal that we're not concerned with the results in 2020, and that's really stinks for a guy like Gardner Minshew, who likely this is it. I mean, this is his opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the league, and I think there's something there with Gardner, but I don't know how much of any kind of opportunity he's going to have to succeed. He found a way to win six games with what they put him out there on the field with last year, and this season it appears they're going to put him out there with significantly less after the move this morning with Fournette.
Tony, if you're making the argument, if somebody is calling you up and saying, Tony, they're tanking, they're trying to go 1-15. From afar, it's easy to say that if you're sitting up in Nashville or somewhere else. But I still don't see a team that's you know 1-15, 0-16, right? They have still a reasonable amount of talent. I don't know if they're going to win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl, but tell me exactly where they are on that spectrum if you're trying to make the argument that this is going to be a team that tanks.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out, right? Like I just said, I mean, with Gardner Minshew as a rookie, having looked miserable in the preseason last year, I mean miserable to the point where week four of the preseason, after they came out of that game, Doug Marrone, the head coach, is coming out and saying, yeah, we may need to look at our options at quarterback. That's how bad Gardner Minshew had looked in the preseason last year. Week one, Nick Foles goes out and gets hurt. Gardner Minshew comes in, he plays well against Kansas City week one, almost goes on the road and beats Houston in week two, wins back-to-back games against Tennessee in week three on that Thursday night, and then he goes to Denver and wins a football game. He wins six games with an offensive line that was in flux the entire year with no real weapons at wide receiver outside of DJ Chark. They have some solid pros, but no real guys to threaten you at all. Nothing at tight end. I mean, nothing at tight end. And Leonard Fournette basically being the only other piece on the offense that was any good. He won six games with all those things going on. So you go through an offseason where it's like, well, you help him out a little bit. Maybe he is a guy that can get you to that 7, 8, 9 win, you know, type plateau. I can't imagine expecting it now. I don't think they're going to be bad enough to be the worst team in the league. And if that was their plan, I don't even know why you go ahead with Gardner Minshew, because he already showed you last year he's good enough to take you out of that kind of realm of possibility. It doesn't make any sense, but I don't know how else to explain, you know, some of the stuff that they're doing with the Fournette thing. It's just, it's a head-scratcher, and it's one that I'm not sure that they can even offer any kind of good explanation for. But, no, I don't think they're bad enough to be the worst team in the league, and I would doubt that they're going to wind up in position with the number one overall pick. And it doesn't mean that I don't think they're trying in some ways to get there, but they're still going to go out there, and you can't tell the guys that you're going to put on the field to lose. We saw how that worked out in Miami. you put a professional athlete out there, he's going to be playing to win. And they showed it last year. They're still good enough to win enough games to keep you out of that kind of conversation.
Yeah, and there's surprise teams in the league every year where it just comes together and you're unexpectedly good. That is the beauty of the parity system of the NFL. Tony, let me ask you this one. This is another tough one. And I ask this knowing that at one time or another, you know, the teams in this market have had this tag, right? The Predators went through it. The Titans have gone through it, where you kind of have this stigma of, oh, if things aren't going well over there, you don't want to be for the Jaguars. It's just they just don't have it together. You know, how do you shake that tag? How much is that hurting them right now, where it seems like you've got players, and, you know, Jalen Ramsey, it seems like that was part of it, right? I don't see the vision here. I want to try to get out of here.
Yeah, my guess would be that the way it's going to start next offseason is that they're going to basically give DJ Chark, if he has another good year, a blank check, as he'll finally be after year three and they can offer one of their own guys big money. But that's still a year away. It's a real indictment on the organization with everything that had gone on with Jalen Ramsey, and even with the stuff that I think he was right about and had some reasons to be frustrated with Jacksonville, and okay. You know, like that kind of thing was going on. Okay. To handle it the way he did, where he faked a back injury to have to, he quit. And in Jacksonville, I think it's hard to get past that and even listen to anything reasonable he may have had to say about the organization after he quits on the football team. Yannick Ngakoue, who did everything the organization asked him to do for 4 years, whatever happened with the contract negotiations last offseason that fell apart as they were in training camp, whatever happened soured the relationship between Yon and the Jaguars to the point where going into this offseason, he had obviously made up his mind, I'm not playing there. Like, that was just, I'm not playing there. And to be traded on the franchise tag to the Minnesota Vikings and say, what do you need from me to make this work, essentially? Oh, I need to do this deal for 1 year, $18 million, instead go down to $12 million? Fine. I can do that if it gets me out of Jacksonville. It's a damning thing to have a player in your organization that's willing to take $6 million less dollars and still have the potential of the franchise tag hanging over his head the next year. It's ridiculous for an organization to be at that point. That's where Jacksonville is. And unfortunately, I don't know exactly where the light at the end of that tunnel is if they can't figure out a way to win some football games, and I just don't see it happening in 2020 for them. And there are a lot of people who think that there must be something, some kind of wink, wink, nod, nod agreement between Shad Khan, the owner, and Dave Caldwell, that if they're going to make these kind of moves, how would he be doing it without some assurance that he would be back next year? He's already been here for 7 years. If they make it eight after another miserable season where they're picking in the top five, you talk about revolt. The fans are already over the moon upset with the organization, but the news of the last 24 hours, and if they were to have a bad season and just stay status quo with what they've done in the front office, I don't even know what it would look like next year.
Tony Smith, 1010XL, is with us talking Jacksonville Jaguars. So you bring up Shad Khan. What is the faith level in Shad Khan? Does Tony Khan have anything to do with the Jags, or is he just focused on the wrestling part, the wrestling company that they have? But what is your faith level in Shad Khan as an owner and the rest of the Jacksonville fan base as well?
Yeah, I think it's difficult in that he is a self-made billionaire. So he obviously has a business acumen, and he knows what he's doing with business. To watch him make the football decisions that he's made, and I think when he came in, Mr. Khan was willing to come in and say, look, I'm not a football guy. I'm going to try to hire football guys that can lead us in the right kind of direction. He was willing to write big checks for Calais Campbell and A.J. Boye, and it led to the success of 2017. And I think he's been willing, and he's talked about it. He wanted to figure out a way to make it work with Jalen Ramsey long-term. Whatever was going on with the organization stood in the way of that. He wanted to pay Yannick Ngakoue. This isn't how they wanted to see those two situations play out. It's how they have played out because of some disconnect between the players and the front office in this organization right now. I think fans are frustrated because this was a year where they were talking about playing more games in London on top of everything else. So fans were already frustrated on top of the level of success that they're having. I think that there are plenty of fans that are ready to completely jump off of any kind of support that they have for Shad Khan. I think others are willing to wait because it is – Shad came in to a franchise that had been notoriously cheap for a long, long time. And when Shad Khan got here, one of the things you can't say about Jacksonville is that they've been cheap. They haven't been cheap. They've spent money. They've been willing to spend money. Right now, their issue is they can't find anyone to take their money, these players. So you have to figure out whatever the disconnect is between trying to find somebody that you can pay, and when you're drafting guys and you hit on a draft pick like Jalen Ramsey, he can't be gone before he gets to a second contract. When you hit on a player like Yannick Ngakoue, he can't be gone before he gets to his second contract. I don't know what hill needs to be crossed for them to get to that point, but there is a whatever faith there was in the fan base 2 years ago, compared to where it is today in the ownership of the Jacksonville Jaguars, night and day different. And there are a lot of fans who, look, they're very, very frustrated with the organization and the moves that they continue to make. And look, winning cures all those things, but it doesn't look like winning's coming anytime soon down here in Jacksonville.
Doug Marrone has survived all of this craziness, and I'll be the first to admit that I didn't think he'd be the head coach going into this season, but here we are. With all that said and the experience that he has on his coaching staff, Jay Gruden joining as the offensive coordinator, do you think that he survives this year? Is there any truth to the Dabo Sweeney rumors that might be out there that he could become the head coach? I know that was on Get Up this morning, but what about the coaching staff when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars and everything that's happening?
Honestly, at this point, given the way things have worked here since Dave Caldwell got here and Shad Khan made the decision to hire Dave Caldwell, I'd be surprised if Doug Marrone doesn't finish the season as the head coach here. I don't know what it means for going into the future, and I can understand, you know, people trying to put the puzzle pieces together of the Jaguars are tanking. They're obviously, if they're tanking, they're doing it to get Trevor Lawrence. If they're going to have this big opening, why not bring Trevor and Dabo together here to Jacksonville? I can understand people putting those pieces together. There's been no whispers of anything like that around here as far as what that's going to look like next year. At this point, I think fans and me included, because I said it after the 2018 season, they went to the AFC Championship game in 2017. After the 2018 season, they go 5-11, and I said, fire everybody. Fire Dave Caldwell, fire Doug Marrone, fire Tom Coughlin at the time. Clean break, start it over. If we're going to have to start it over, let's do it that way. They decided to go sign Nick Foles in free agency. That worked out really well for them going into 2019. And then they didn't reset it after that either. When they got to the point where Tom Coughlin had rubbed players so much the wrong way that one out of every four player complaints to the Players Association was from Jacksonville, that they were sending out a memo saying, you should think twice about your options if one of your options is Jacksonville. You should think hard about this. That's how bad it got. Well, they let go of Tom Coughlin. They haven't let go of anybody else. And trying to figure out why they would even hold on to him for this year was difficult for us to figure out. So trying to guess what's going to happen for an organization that a lot of people feel like should have cleaned house 3 years ago, going into next offseason, I don't know. I don't know if 0-16 would get him out. I do not know at this point what it would take to cost somebody a job as a head coach or the general manager in Jacksonville. I hope we don't get to that point in 2020 and they have more success. But again, it's hard to see it with what they currently have.
Tony Smith, 1010XL, covers the Jags down there, radio host as well. Hey, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
And I have a feeling that there'll be even more news with the Jags with the way things are going. So Tony Smith, always nice enough to join us. We'll have more coming on this situation and more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.